20. Hayden. Hayden wrinkled his face. The smell from the fresh carcass was nearly unbearable, made more so because he knew where it was coming from. He turned back to Hicks, who was in the process of changing the cell on his plasma rifle. "Is everyone else okay?" he asked. Hicks nodded. "I think I'm going to have nightmares for weeks, but I'm good otherwise."
"Sheriff," Jackson said, holding his helmet out to him.
Hayden took it and slid it back on. The network reconnected a few seconds later. He felt like someone punched him in the gut when he saw Rollins' red designation. Another dead deputy. Damn it.
"Where did that thing come from?"
Ivanov said. It was the first time she had spoken since the Rangers had arrived. "It's Relia," Hayden said. "Part of the Hunger."
"How do you know?"
Hicks asked.
"Because it isn't from Earth, and it isn't an intellect." "What is it doing underground?"
"Good question. We need to find out."
"Sheriff,"
Ivanov said. She had his plasma rifle. He accepted it too, dropping the spent cell out of it and replacing it with a fresh one.
"Thanks."
He approached the central mass of the creature. He didn't want to look into its mouth, but he needed to know if there was enough left of Rollins to bury. There wasn't.
"Rollins?"
Hicks asked. Hayden shook his head.
"I'm sorry. You did your best to save him, more than any of us could have done. We're lucky to only lose one against that thing."
Hayden nodded, though it wasn't much comfort. He climbed over the prone tentacles, getting past the carcass to continue along the tunnel, the Rangers following behind him. The Trife were all gone, having fled during the fighting. The path ahead was clear.
"Salino, what's our relative position?" Hayden asked.
"You're almost directly under the front of that building," Salino replied. "The door is gone, but it has a reinforced metal seal still intact behind it."
"Interesting. What kind of building was this that it was armored against intrusion?" "Do you see any windows?"
"Now that you mention it, not until about 8 meters up. And they're all still intact. No sign of squatters or scavengers getting inside."
"Very interesting. Bach, I want you to stay in position here to maintain the network link to Deputy Salino."
"Roger, Sheriff,"
Bach replied. Hayden led the rest of the Rangers forward at a quick walk, eager to figure out what this was all about. He didn't have to go far. The tunnel ended 50 meters later, at a metal blast door that had been torn open by the tentacled Relia as though it were made of paper.
"Jailbreak?"
Jackson ventured, eyeing the damage.
"Seems like it," Hayden replied. "But unless Proxima scientists are hiding inside, why would that thing have waited 200 years to break out?"
He approached the ravaged metal. The hole was a lot smaller than the creature, which must have compressed itself to slide through. He stepped inside and found himself standing in what looked like an airlock. The room was filthy from the passage of time. Dozens of small nozzles lined the walls and ceiling, and there was a drain in the center of the floor. A second seal sat directly in front of him, also punctured.
"What do you think?"
Hicks asked, stepping through the hole into the room.
"Looks like it was intended to sanitize people on their way through this door." "To keep something from getting out or to keep something from getting in?"
"Good question." "Let's go find out," Hayden said, waiting for the others to step through the seal. Hayden was impressed by the way they were handling the situation, staying focused despite what they had just seen and despite the death of their squadmate. Hicks and Rico had trained them well.
"Stay tight, stay alert,"
he said, leading them through the second door. It fed out into a cement corridor lined with overhead LED bulbs. A trail of slime was visible on the floor, though it seemed too small to be from the creature they had just killed. Even so, it gave them a starting point. Hayden followed the trail down the corridor to an intersection where it turned right. He did the same. The next hallway had a few doors along the sides, all of them made of rounded iron hatches as if they were on a naval ship instead of in a building.
The rangers tested the doors as they passed, pushing them open to reveal individual offices, most of which were completely bare, save for a simple desk and chair. No computer, no paperwork, no personal effects.
Seems like the place was abandoned, Hicks said.
Probably during the war, Hayden replied.
Maybe when the ships left Earth. A reasonable assumption.
The marks from the Relia went to the right again, down another corridor, and then turned right a third time at a stairwell. The door to the steps had been ripped off its hinges, and it was resting on the floor below. Hayden started down. He drew his revolvers when he reached the halfway point, slowing to approach the lower level more cautiously. He made it to the bottom of the stairs, guns out and ready to shoot. He was in a large, tiled room, a laboratory of some kind. Computer terminals and scientific machinery filled most of the open room, their specific purpose unclear. Marked containers filled a pair of shelves in the corner, while what looked like a freezer door rested against the far wall. Hayden looked down, finding the trail of ichor again and tracing it across the room to a hole in the wall, about the same size as the punctures and the seals further out.
This is like a horror movie, Hicks said.
There was a collection of old movies and players in Sinisco that the residents were free to come and use. Hayden rarely had time to participate, but Ginny had told him about a few. It did remind him of one of the films she had described. The room beyond the wall was cool, as though it had been insulated and frozen at one point, but the loss of power had given it time to thaw. How recent was the loss of power? Had the Trife come this way because they could still feel the residual radiation? This wouldn't be the first location to house its own micro-reactor. The devices were common enough, especially in the wake of the Trife invasion. The darkness of the facility made it difficult to see into the space. The night vision was doing its best, but it still required a minimum of light to enhance. Hayden could only see about a meter into the room, to the edge of something resting on the floor.
Time to switch to lamps, I think, he said. Roger that, Hicks replied.
It was important to keep the switch synced so that no one blinded anyone else with the sudden light.
On three, two, one, now.
Hayden squinted his eyes a few times to activate the light built into his helmet. The system handled the changeover with minimal interruption, the visor gradually filtering the new light until he had a clear, color view of the room ahead, and the creature crawling toward them.